Hey, y'all. Welcome to Young Families Sunday. If you could, grab your coffee, donuts, and y'all come on up here. There's plenty of chairs and tables right in front of me on the front row. But hey, glad y'all are here. My name is Andrew Harwell, and I'm one of the church planning interns here at Perimeter. And so we've been, Elizabeth over here, my wife and I have been here a year. It's actually been a year. And fun to be with you guys. Actually, part of what I get to do is, as a church planning intern or apprentice, is help out with young families. And so this is fun to be with you guys this morning. This morning, just to kind of give you a little bit of what we're doing, I have the pleasure of stalling for about 30 minutes with you guys until Jeff Norris gets here. Now, we've got some stuff to some discussion around the table, but Jeff Norris is going to be coming down here in a minute. And we'll be leading really through a discussion that will dovetail in nicely with Young Families Weekend. So who came to Young Families Weekend? It's pretty fun, wasn't it? Pretty good stuff. Well, even if you didn't come, it's okay, because this morning you're going to get a little overview of that. On your table, there's these cards. This is actually the notes from Scotty's talks that he did over the course of the weekend, all three of them. Actually, you can actually go to the Young Families website, or actually you can just Google Young Families Weekend Perimeter, and all of his talks are online. And these are the notes for them. And I encourage you to go back and listen to them. They're really good. But this morning, what Jeff is going to be doing on the second sheet, this one here at the top, it talks about encouragement and forgiveness and kindness in our marriage. And so Jeff's going to lead us through a little bit of a discussion that goes a little bit deeper in this subject of what does it look like to encourage each other as spouses, but also what does it look like to encourage our children, our families, but also to walk a life of forgiveness and repentance together. And so that will kind of be our discussion that Jeff will lead us to. But before he comes, I actually have a list of questions that you guys will be able to interact with together at your tables. But before we get there, I actually had a few announcements. The first announcement is coming up this summer, I think June 24th, is a pool party here at Perimeter. Perimeter has a pool right out there, right below the zip line. And Young Families will be having with Connect Groups, we'll have a pool party. And last year when Elizabeth and I moved here, we came here in May, and then there was this pool party in June, and it was really fun just to kind of be seen, but also to see these faces, many of you that are in the room, of who Young Families is. So if you want to find a space to try to get connected to other young families, this is a great opportunity to do that. Amongst the chaos of the pools and the lifeguards and the sunscreen and all of that fun stuff. But there will be pizza served as well. And if you are connected with young families here, it would actually be a great place for you to help others that you don't know, or even to meet others that you see their faces week in and week out, to be able to connect with them. So I encourage you to come to that, June 24th. There's another one in July, but we'll just put this one up there for the moment. Another announcement we have is, I just saw these this morning, that Deborah Potter and the Community Service Department here at Perimeter each summer puts out this Summer Serve Guide, which is really cool. It is packed full of things that you can do to serve throughout the summer. Some of them are date-specific, others are just throughout the summer. But what's great about them is all of us are young families. So you're wondering, how in the world do I serve with little kids running around me? And in the guide, beside places where that are available for children to be involved, there's this fun little umbrella. So there's tons of activities for you and your family to be involved in. And so I encourage you to pick one of these up. Actually, I have some extras right here, free giveaways. You can actually all get one of these for free other places in the church. But if you want one from here... Encourage you to come grab one, or come grab them from me. I'll go sit over there. But okay, so here's what we're going to do this morning. this morning, we have a list of questions for you to interact around your table. And the first one, Dustin, I didn't put it up here, because here, pull that one down. All right, we're going to go with a softball. We're going to throw an easy one out this morning, just because I get the task of stalling till Jeff gets down here. So the first question is, I would love for y'all just to take a few minutes to get to know each other around the table. Just if you do know each other, that's fine, that's great, but I still want you to do this. Just to introduce yourself, just tell about your family, how long have you been married, and how many children you have. How about that? And then a fun one, did they all sleep last night? Right? So who you are, how long you've been married, how many kids you have, and did they all sleep last night? Right. And then I'll bring you back together for another question here in a minute. All right. Feel free to carry that question over into this next section. All right. But this morning, when Jeff gets down here, he is going to be kind of leading us back through this conversation about what it looks like to encourage our spouses, what does it look like to encourage our children, and also to walk in forgiveness and repentance as well. And so with that, we have a few questions that kind of prime the pump, all right? And hopefully this will kind of help you kind of engage this issue, not just from like, okay, yes, we need to encourage each other and to forgive each other and to walk in repentance, but actually to kind of pull out a little bit of how you're doing in those areas as well. So the first question is this. What is the biggest barrier or struggle for you in displaying encouragement and kindness to your spouse and her children? So you got a choice there, the spouse or children. But it probably, I would imagine that they're probably connected. So what is the biggest barrier or struggle for you in displaying encouragement and kindness to your spouse and children? So y'all discuss that a little bit, and then I'll pull you back together for another question here in a minute. All right. So there's hope that was a good first discussion. Don't worry, there's a few more. The second question is this. What is the biggest barrier struggle for you in extending forgiveness to your spouse and your children? So not just encouragement, but forgiveness. All right, so discuss that one for a few minutes. All right, y'all can finish up that last question. Okay, has this been good? Yeah? It's been fun to think through just even how, especially with this question, our 7-year-old and our 3-year-old, how we even interact with those differently in working through forgiveness. And so the next question is, it's two questions, two parts. First is, what do you most enjoy about your spouse and about your children? So this will be fun. You get to actually practice encouraging your spouse right in front of them and your children as well. And then the second question is, what do you think your spouse and children enjoy most about you? All right, so here's what I want you to do. I actually want you to answer the first question first. Don't skip ahead to the next one, all right? But to answer the first one, what do you most enjoy about your spouse and about your children? And then kind of once y'all get some time with that, follow up with that second question. And then we'll see if your spouse agrees, and you can ask your children if they agree later as well. So, all right. I hope that was fun. Just because I get to do this, I'm going to do this. Would anybody want to share? No, you sure about that? Would anybody want to share something that you enjoy most about your spouse? We'll turn this into a little bit of encouraging fest here. Anyone? Wow. Good thing Jeff's going to be talking about this. How about this? Okay, what about your children? Does anyone want to share anything that they really enjoy about their children? Okay, I will do it. I really enjoy the fact that my children are all very different. And it's kind of fun just to see their personalities come out in different ways. And so I don't know if y'all have that same experience, but it's just really fun to see how the Lord has wired our children to be different. I think it is hard sometimes to figure out how do I encourage them when they're not walking the little path that I think is best for them. But I hope this was really fun for you guys to talk through. And I'm really looking forward just to seeing how Jeff will walk us back through some of the things that Scotty shared with us a few weeks ago at Young Families Weekend and how to really apply that to our lives, which, I don't know if y'all feel this way, but sometimes when I come to events and I get all this information, and then about 3 weeks later, I forget about what I learned about. And my glasses are fogging here. What I learned about. And so just to get a chance just to kind of walk back through Scotty's talk and to think specifically, does it look like to encourage my spouse and my children and really to forgive them well, but also to repent well? And so with that, here is Jeff Norris, who is a busy man today.
Thanks, Andrew.
Oh, please don't clap. That was all? Really? gosh, guys, I had intended to be down here sooner. Andrew's probably been sweating bullets up here, like, oh, I got to keep talking about something and get them talking about something until Jeff gets down here. But hopefully it was meaningful discussion around your tables. But I was doing the worship pastor stuff in the main, and we had baptisms that always take longer than what I anticipate. So anyway, everybody has these, right? You have these sheets on your table? Do you have enough? Is it one per couple or one per person? One per couple. Okay. So either way, yeah, you're close enough to it to where you can see it. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take out the session 2 one. And maybe Andrew's already told, have you already told him that part? Okay. So session 2 is what we're going to be kind of walking through this morning. So let's do this. You may not need it. I think we always need prayer, but I certainly need it to pray, ask God to lead our time together is I'm feeling rushed for sure. So let me pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather this morning in this place and consider something hugely important as we think about just this idea of encouragement and kindness and forgiveness in our marriages and our families. God, give us wisdom, even give me wisdom, even leading this morning, to lead in a way to where you are greatly glorified and significant truths are not only communicated, but received and discussed among us. So, Father, we give this time to you. We thank you. We give you the praise and ask you to just do what you do among us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so you guys have already discussed kind of this opening question of what's something that what do you most enjoy about your spouse? Did y'all get to that one? I think that was the third one. Everybody kind of get that far on the questions. Here's why I wanted to follow up on this. If you were at Young Families Weekend a few weekends back, Scotty Smith walked through this material, these three sheets that we're resourcing you with now. His notes, as you see, are so thorough that at the very least, even if you tune out for the next 30 minutes, you get to take three sheets home that are really awesome and just very thorough in terms of what they're communicating about marriage. So the Young Families Weekend was centered on marriage. Scotty came in, did a tremendous job of talking, packing in like probably honestly 7 sessions worth of content into 3. And so in some senses it was great. In other senses it was like, I oh my goodness, drinking out of a fire hydrant, slow down. I can't digest all this at once. And so as we were talking as a staff, we thought, even if you weren't there, this is so good to circle back around, because even if you were there and you're like me, it was a lot of material, and you go, okay, I'm not sure I've even gone back to look at that and really process what was said there. So looking at this second sheet, he starts out talking about encouragement. And I want us to think about what I'm going to walk through here. Not just with your spouse, because that's first and foremost. I want you to apply it to your marriage. But also, if you have kids who are old enough yet, some of us have just infants, and you're like, I don't know how to encourage an infant. If you have kids who are old enough, what does it even look like? I want you to be processing and thinking through on this page. It's only about marriage, but you be thinking through, what does this look like even for my children? To encourage my children, to move towards my children with kindness, which is incredibly hard for me with my 15-year-old right now. We have been warned over the years that as hard as the young years are, that the teenage years are even harder, and we were like, there's no way. You people are crazy. And now we're there, and we're like, yeah, they knew what they were talking about. It really is. They really are smart alecks all the time. But he says, encouragement isn't flattery. Encouragement and kindness are grown in the garden of lingering and listening and kindness. But I love those words he uses there, lingering and listening. Now, that struck me when he was sharing with us that weekend. I think he kind of kept going for a few minutes before I caught up with him because I was thinking, I don't linger and listen very well because I'm always in a hurry, even this morning. It's like life tends to push me in such a way with all the responsibilities, with all the different things that are going on, to where lingering and listening are just not the defaults of my habits. And we live in a world, I've thought about this often. I'll come back to that phrase, we live in a world, and I'll finish that sentence in a moment. But I've thought about this often. I grew up loving watching old Westerns. And one of my favorite shows when I was little, don't judge me, men, because I'm a little bit of a man card laying down here, was Little House on the Prairie. And don't shake your head at me, Anthony Masters. I loved it. It's a great show. And one of the things I loved about it is I loved envisioning. I've always been a big dreamer, big kind of like, I'm always thinking about, oh, what would it have been like? I love history. Whenever we go to different places and walk into, you know, old buildings, I'm always like, what's the history of this place? What would it have been like? What did it look like back then? And I'm constantly having those dialogues in my head. And so with that, I've thought often about the Old West, and I think in the Hollywoodized version of the Old West, I would have loved it. In real life, I would have hated it. But I would have loved it because of the simplicity of life. Like, what would it have been like that if my only responsibility that day was to wake up with the sun, harvest my crops, and be a husband and a father? Like, that's crazy. Now, in that day and time, it was hard work. I'm not saying it was easy. But it was like there was the opportunity to linger and listen because you were always around. Okay? Lingering and listening. We live in a world today where lingering and listening is a discipline that we have to take initiative and be purposeful in doing. In other words, lingering and listening is not just going to happen. Lingering and listening is something that we have to make happen. We have to be mindful of it. And guys, listen, I'm not just saying this so that it makes me more like, you know, whatever, like, oh, he's like one of us. I stink at this. I really stink at it. I'll tell you in a minute, just even the conversation that Rachel and I had last night. So fighting to linger and listen is huge in being able to encourage, to move into a dialogue with our spouses, with our children, that's permeated with encouragement and kindness. Look what he says next. This is Scotty talking, so his wife's name is Darlene. For Darlene and myself, this involves moving towards each other, offering, and look at the three things he says here, a non-anxious presence. That's tough. To be able to sit in the presence of your children or with your wife and not be thinking about something else. Not be thinking about that email that you need to reply to, not thinking about all those voicemails in your inbox that you haven't responded to. Or maybe it's even not thinking about the fact that all you want to do is chill out and not think about anything while watching the Braves. You know, whatever it may be. But to be their non-anxious presence. Receiving feedback non-defensively. And then third, giving feedback lovingly. So here's where I come into this morning. And God in his humor and in his sovereignty set this up perfect for me to be the absolute worst person to lead this morning. The worst choice of anyone in this room. Any one of you could stand up and be in a better place experientially and you know, just in your own marriage and life than I am. Last night, I could tell something was really bothering Rachel. And it had been for the majority of the day. And really, as I think back on it, as I thought back on it last night, most of Friday, and so last night, I'm like, okay, you know, something's not right. So I had officiated a wedding last night, and I came back. I got back about 7:30, and we come in, and things are kind of crazy, trying to get the kids all washed and cleaned and get them in bed, and we sit down together, and I said, sweetie, what's wrong? She says, nothing. Guys, you know what that means. I said, I said, you've been acting pretty cold shoulder to me the last couple of days. Like, what are you mad at me? She said, I'm trying not to be. Oh. So my intuition was correct. There's something going on here. I said, I'm talk to me. I really am clueless. What's going on? And she said, it's some of the things, same things that we've talked about for almost 17 years of marriage. And I was like, oh, great. Not only is there something going on here, but it's something I've done over and over and over and over again. And then clearly it's not getting better. Here's the long of it. We talked for a while. And she said, she basically said, I just really need you to show more initiative in pursuing me and the children. She said, you're just so busy. And you're always running from one thing to the next. And when you're here, a lot of times I don't feel like you're here. And so lingering, listening, non-anxious presence. So I'm missing all of these. One thing that had happened was Fridays are my off day. And certainly a day of rest for me. It's really my Sabbath because Sundays are most of the time, off, if not always, a work day. And I had totally come into the Sabbath day, personal Sabbath of Friday, with a very selfish mindset of, I am so tired. I've had a long week. I'm going to just not do anything. What's not crossing my mind, that's certainly at the forefront of hers, is that this is our last Friday. All of our kids are in school now. Our youngest is in kindergarten. This is our last Friday that she and I could have a lunch date before summer hits. Never on my radar. So she has an expectation that maybe he'll bring that up. And I never did. And there's a so here's the point. Here's one of my points where he says receiving feedback non-defensively. In my pride, I wanted to be like, well, why didn't you bring it up? Like, you should have said, hey, let's go to lunch. And but then that's what I wanted to say. But then I thought, no. I was charged on my wedding day by Randy Pope himself. He officiated our wedding, and I was charged by him, Jeff, lead Rachel. Lead her. Pursue her. And that's what I was deeply failing at, because I was, and this is part of the struggle with being a pastor, but it's any of our jobs, that I'm giving my best time. I'm giving the best time to people that I know the least. And I'm giving my leftovers to the ones that I claim to love the most. And so to be able to fight for that and to balance that in such a way doesn't mean we quit our jobs and grow gardens in our backyard like Little House on the Prairie and say, I'm just going to harvest my crops and be at home. But where is that balance? Where is that God-given, driven, spirit-filled, spirit-led focus of saying, okay, I need to be continually mindful that those who I pursue most readily and most mindfully, I'm thinking about it all the time, is my wife and my kids. And this is not anything that's new to us. We hear this all the time. But man, I told Rachel last night, I said, pray for me, because I genuinely feel like I am the worst person to sit in front of Young Family Sunday tomorrow and talk about this. Because she certainly was not, these are my words, not hers. She wasn't feeling encouraged. I was certainly asking her to forgive me. So I woke up this morning with a heavy heart. A lot of times, even though I'm a communicator verbally, when it comes to my wife, I write notes because I tend to say things that come out wrong, that if I write it, I can go, oop, no, that's not what I meant, and then I can erase it and write over. But I left her a note by her bedside because I got up early and to be here, and just said, would you forgive me? I'm so sorry. And thank you. My opening line was, thank you for calling me out last night. I needed to be called out. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take just a moment. We're not going to spend a ton of time doing this. I mean, maybe 5 minutes. And just discuss around your tables how even this first little part, and just know, by the way, just so you know, we're not going to make it through this whole sheet. We got 25 minutes left. A lot of this will be a resource to you as you go from here. How does this hit you about this lingering and listening, this non-anxious presence, receiving feedback non-defensively, giving feedback lovingly? Just some of your thoughts as you read that. And if you're willing to share about how you've seen that play out or not play out in your marriage or in your home with your kids, share that as well. I'll bring us back together in a few minutes. All right, guys, I know that wasn't super long, but y'all have been talking in your groups for a long time already. Hey, by the way, let me give some props to Dustin Blue in the back. Y'all see Dustin? Dustin, wave your hand. Give Dustin a hand. He's one of our residents here on our staff team, and he's just awesome and serves us in often it's very thankable. What's the word I'm looking for? Things that don't get thanked often. Thankless. Thank you. There's English. Wow. He said that's that Alabama degree working for you. Okay. All right. So look at this. I'm going to walk through this next little section, just hitting some highlights and then to work us down to forgiveness there at the bottom. But you can read these on your own and kind of even I would encourage you just maybe set aside some time tonight or this week with your spouse and talk through some of these things. Look at the second point there. It says pray for your spouse. There should be a four in there. There shouldn't be. Pray your spouse to the throne of grace daily, and if possible, pray with your spouse. And I love his next comment here. It's hard to commit heart murder. That sounds intense, but it's true. It's hard to commit heart murder towards someone you are consistently bringing to Jesus. I don't know. I'm not going to ask you to have a show of hands. How many of you pray together? And then if you don't raise your hand, we judge you. No, that we're not going to do that. If you're not praying together, if you're not praying your spouse to the throne of grace, that's something that we would say, man, let's try to do that. Let's work towards that. Because what he says here is so true, it's hard to commit heart murder for those that you're consistently bringing to Jesus. I love what he says on this next one. Catch the other doing it right, not just doing it wrong. Encouragement is a discipline before it is a feeling. Now, some of us have the gift of encouragement, that it's your natural disposition because of your walk with Christ and the gifts that he's given you since you've had the Holy Spirit, that you just naturally encourage. Maybe it's a part of your personality even before Christ, that you're just an encourager. But for many of us who are not naturally encouraging folks, especially those of us who may be wired in a way to see the negative before the positive, and that's not a bad thing. Some of the best critical problem solvers in the world are those that see what's wrong first. That it actually to encourage is a discipline. It's something that we pray about and say, God, give me the ability to encourage my spouse and my children and to develop that discipline in my life. And the feeling will come after that. Further down, you'll see where he says, spend more time telling others what you like about your spouse than what you don't. Some of you may not struggle with this at all. I have been surprised over the years at the number of small group environments that people are in where they kind of use that as their time to bash their spouse in the name of prayer request. And what he says here, gossip is marital homicide and planting seed for an affair. So just be mindful of that. He asked the question, what does non-expensive fun look like in your relationship? Great question to be considering as you think about pursuing one another. Look at where he says, take the trash out often. He says, resist the temptation to stockpile rotting garbage so you'll have a lot of salvo to import into a fresh conflict. Now, I had to look up the word salvo. There's my Alabama education again. I was like, what does that mean? Here's the definition. A sudden, vigorous, or aggressive act or series of acts. In the military language, it means like you're stockpiling this ammo and then you're releasing it all at once. And so what he's saying is it's so tempting within conflict to do that. And so even last night, as we're having this conversation, as she was bringing some things to me that I needed to hear, and I felt my heart wanting to be super defensive, I also felt my heart wanting to go back to things that I've stockpiled And I started to at one point to even begin a sentence of, well, you, and I, but I don't think I even got to the you, because thankfully by God's grace, I had been preparing for this and I remembered this part. I wish it were because I'm so spiritual. It's like the Spirit was just leading me. It was like, no, what did you read on the sheet, Jeff? And it was like, no, don't go there. It's not going to help anything. Receive her good rebuke with a non-defensive posture, and don't stockpile and then go and just heap it on her from something from 2 weeks ago or whatever it may be. The next point is huge. Be the first person in your marriage to repent. Outdo one another in kindness. So when I do a wedding, I do the very same. I charge the groom and the bride with the same two things, four total, two each, that Randy charged Rachel and I with on our wedding day. So with the guy, I say, last night the guy's name was Dave. I said, Dave, I'm charging you to bring love and leadership to the marriage. And I say, of course, you hear that and you go, of course, I'm bringing love to the marriage. That's why I'm here. I love her. But I'm not talking about worldly love as the way the world knows love. I'm talking about the way that the Bible gospel love is. That it's a selfless love, it's a sacrificial love, it's a humble love, and it's an unconditional love. And so I walk through that. But then the second charge is leadership. And I charge the guys, as Randy did us, I charge, lead in two ways. Lead first in your pursuit of God. That what your wives would see continually be true of you is that you're loving Jesus more than you're loving her. And that she is actually compelled to move towards the throne of grace because she sees you so passionately moving in that direction. That she sees you starting your day in conviction on your knees before your God. That what she never has to question is Jeff walking with Jesus. Because it's obvious and it's not contrived. So lead in your pursuit of God. But secondly, and here's why I bring all this up, as it pertains to this, be the first person in your marriage to repent. Outdo one another in repentance and kindness. Is secondly, lead, husbands, lead in repentance. That you're setting the tone of repentance in your marriage. Certainly her job is to repent as well. But that as you pursue Jesus and as you pursue her, you're going to fail often. So that we would be quick to repent, and that our wives would actually then be quick to repent because they see our heart of repentance. So there's a leadership that comes with that from the groom, from the husband. Last thing I'll mention here, by the way, the two things you may be going, what do you charge the wives with? So what we charge the wives with first is to bring a spirit of peace to the marriage, and that's specifically what that means is a spirit of submissiveness. And the world hears that word and cringes and goes, oh, he's talking about inferiority. And that's not at all what the scriptures are talking about. The scriptures are actually talking about this really glorious term that even if you go back to Genesis, the very beginning of Genesis, where God creates Adam and Eve, and Eve is a helper fit for Adam. That word helper there is the word azer. And that word is actually used most commonly and prominently in the Old Testament for God himself, that God is the helper of Israel. So here's the point. If God's going to attribute that term to himself over and over and over again, then it's actually a term of significance, not inferiority. God's saying, this is what I am. I'm a helper. So women, when I say you're a helper to your husband, that's a glorious thing. That's a significant thing. And when your husband, who is pursuing God with passion, leads you well, then you will gladly submit to his leadership. And that's not a bad thing. That's a beautiful thing. Where we see this most commonly or most poignantly is in the Trinity itself, within the Godhead himself. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, equal in power, substance, and glory. There's no distinction in equality. All equally God. But yet you have distinction in role. Okay, not inequality, not inferiority, but just a different role within the Godhead. You have God the Father who planned all and created all and planned salvation. You have God the Son who came and achieved salvation for us, under submitting himself under the will of the Father. Right? Then you have God the Holy Spirit who comes and applies salvation to us. empowering us to live out the call that God's put on our lives. So distinction in role, not inequality. And then God says, I'm going to give you marriage to reflect me in the same way, that you're equal in purpose and value, but distinct in design and role. Okay, so listen to this. You're going to hurt each other. We're going to fail often. And when we do, what does it look like to be for forgiveness? So let me tie the encouragement in with the forgiveness. So just this week as well, this has been a brutal week for me. I'll just keep bashing myself up here. Just this week as well, our son was having a rough week. He's 15. He has some learning disabilities, so he struggles with school, but he's actually been doing, we are so proud of him. He's we call him our little fighter, our little overcomer, because of how much he's overcome. He's had open heart surgery. He has to be on heart and lung medication. I mean, he's got all kinds of things going on in his life. But he's been giving up this past week, 2 weeks in school. He's like, I'm at the end, I'm done, and this is when finals are going on. With that, he's had a real heart of just disobedience. So all came to a culmination on Wednesday night, where he has a final on Thursday that he's barely studied for. And Rachel and I are encouraging him, but it's not encouragement. We're getting on to him. And it ends up being this about hour conversation, just started with the three of us, but then Rachel had to leave to get the girls in bed. And so Samuel and I just sitting on his bed talking. And where it ends, one of the places that it kind of ended in was this. He said, Dad, I would just really like it if you guys would encourage me more. And initially, I thought, I would really like it if you would just obey more. You want encouragement? Obey. That's how it works. Pretty cool, huh? But I bit my tongue. I said, what makes you feel that way? Can you give me any examples? And he kind of went back and was able to say, well, I just feel like you guys are always on me about this, 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 and this again. I was like, well, do what we say to do. We won't be on you. But I just let him share his heart. And at the end of our conversation, I just looked at him. I said, Samuel, I'm sorry. I said, you're right. I need to encourage you more. I need to encourage you more, period. And I did say, I said, but buddy, I want you to hear one thing, just one. I want you to hear me saying I'm sorry and that you're right. I need to encourage you more. I do want you to hear that I'm asking that this be a two-way street, that I'm going to commit to you, that I'm going to encourage you more. And I need you to commit to me, a mom, that you're going to fight really hard to give it your very best in school and at home, to do what we're asking you to do, but even more importantly, to do what God's called you to do. So if you can commit to that to me, then I, not contingently, I'm going to commit to encourage you no matter what, but I'm just asking that in return you would commit to those things. And he said yes. I'll be honest with you, not a whole lot has changed, but it was a great conversation. In terms of, I don't know that I've seen him commit to those things the way that I would like for him to these last few days. But it's those conversations that we need to be having with our kids and with our spouses over and over again. And by God's grace, in that moment, by the Spirit, not because of anything with me, I didn't defend myself. Because I knew deep down he was right. I don't encourage him enough. And I need to be my children's biggest encouragers, even when they're driving me crazy. Okay? And we need to be each other's husbands and wives' biggest encouragers, even when we're driving each other crazy. But the reality is we will hurt each other. And so what does forgiveness look like? Here's a couple things real quick before we wrap up. Forgiveness is our commitment. This is the first point he makes. Forgiveness is our commitment to live as ambassadors of reconciliation and as peacemakers in a broken world, inhabited only by other broken people, including the broken people in our families. I'm just going to read these four because they're so good. Forgiveness is one of the sure and shocking marks of the kingdom of Jesus that Jesus has to come to establish. I think about the, if y'all remember this, I even shared this in a sermon somewhat recently, but if you remember the victims of the shooting at the church in Charleston, and you had the white supremacist guy who went into a black church and shot people. And one of the most powerful things I've seen in a long time is the families of those victims going into the courtroom, and through a TV monitor, who he could see them, they could see him, said to him over each one of them, one by one, came to the stand and said, "We hate what you did, but because of the way I've been forgiven in Christ, I forgive you." And it was unbelievably powerful. And all kinds of theological arguments. Well, should they be forgiving him if he's not asking for it? God, no. They're just demonstrating what Scotty says here, the sure and shocking marks of the kingdom Jesus has come to establish. And we do that, we forgive, we move towards each other with forgiveness, even within our own families. One of the best ways, one of the very best ways that our children can see and comprehend the gospel beyond our words of sharing the gospel with them, but they actually see the gospel embodied, is how they see mom and dad repenting and forgiving one another. That when they actually see mom and dad coming to their children and saying, "Would you forgive me? I'm sorry." I'm hearing music all of a sudden. Do y'all hear that? Oh, the chapel. It's like the Spirit's moving so well right now that I've got some background music that he's just throwing in there. It's like I'm getting energized, getting into preacher mode. But that's how our children see it, right? I mean, they can hear us, and we should be talking to them about the gospel and their need for Jesus. But oftentimes, what is most compelling to them is how they see mom and dad moving towards each other with forgiveness towards each other and to their children, to where they see, wow, mom and dad need Jesus even as much as they talk about, if not more. Look down at what forgiveness isn't. Look at the second point. Forgiveness isn't amnesia. It is not forgetting. It's important to remember one of the things that you can graciously maybe correct in somebody when they say, "Well, the Bible says forgive and forget." Like, God, that's not biblical, the whole forgetting piece. Actually, we forgive and we don't want to harbor. We don't want to harbor resentment and anger. We want to let those things go. But we remember there are consequences to our sins and when we hurt one another. We do want to ask God to help us. The offense will still be a part of your history, but it does not have to dominate your life, so that God would free us from any harboring of that wound. You can read the rest of them there. Last one is good. Forgiveness, all of them are good. Forgiveness is an avoidance. To have a forgiving heart is to long and hope for justice and peace while revoking all sense of entitlement and relishing of revenge. Here's the point. Let's pray with each other, with our spouses, and with our families, with our kids, that through some of these things, that these things would be true of us. One of the things I want you to be praying for your children is simply this. Long before you pray for them to be successful in whatever endeavor it is, athletically, educationally, you know, academically, and any of those things, socially, that what we would be praying over our children more than anything else is that they would be people who are so marked with the love of Jesus that they look like him in the world around us, that they are moving forward with shocking forgiveness, that they are loving those around them the way that Christ has loved us. And what a countercultural kingdom prayer to be praying that for our children. And to be praying that for our spouses. Because what we most want for our children is that he'll hit that grand slam today. Which is cool if he does. But we're praying for those deeper, more eternal things that God has put us over our children to actually be about. So, all right. I think we also gave you guys the first and third sheets as well. Do you have all three? Perfect. Okay, so those other sheets, if you weren't at the weekend, or even, again, if you were, it's a great review. But these are some thorough notes that hopefully you'll use personally in your time with the Lord and even with your spouse talking through them. All right, let me pray. I know y'all got to get going. We're right at noon, and we got a few donuts left over there if you want to get a sugar rush before your lunch. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity again to be here. We thank you, Lord, that you have you've so worked in our lives, that you've given us by your grace an understanding of the gospel that would tell us that we are more sinful than we could ever imagine, but that we are more loved in Christ than we could ever dream. And so, Lord, may we be a people who love and lead each other in our marriages, but also our children in a way to where we are living out the gospel in front of them. And so even what's printed on this sheet here, may it not be something that feels overwhelming, but something that actually compels us to be what you've called us to be. So, Father, encourage us with your Spirit as we seek to encourage one another. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for being here, guys.